us, like?
Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel is dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn your back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you all. Do keep Psalm 114 open in front of you. For the next 20, 25 minutes, we're going to unpack that psalm together. So if I said to you the phrase elephant toothpaste, it might not mean much to you. In fact, you might say, oh, Luke, what now? But elephant toothpaste, I don't know why it's got this name, but it's something for you to YouTube later. If you take dry yeast and warm water and washing up liquid and a bit of food colouring, fairly normal, still ordinary kind of ingredients, mix them all up, and then you add hydrogen peroxide, what happens, especially if you've got it in a bottle or a conical flask or something, is suddenly there is this burst, this explosion of hot, steaming, expanding, foaming, gelatinous, brightly coloured stuff that just bursts out the top and sometimes will stick to the ceiling if you use enough ingredients. You get this very ordinary stuff, and then the presence of something else sort of comes in, and it's like everything else comes to life. It's almost unbelievable. Now, here's another picture. Imagine you're on the motorway, and it's just traffic. It's just bumper to bumper, absolutely still. Nothing's happening. It's rush hour. And then in your rearview mirror, you see sort of the flashing blue lights. And you see, something emerging from behind you in the traffic. And you start hearing the sound of the siren, maybe a police car or some other emergency services vehicle. What happens? All the cars move out of the way, don't they? It's sort of at parts. Some people, if you're very zealous, you might mount the curb so that the police car can come all the way through and come bursting through the gap. This very still, very ordinary situation suddenly comes to life as everyone moves out of the way at the presence of this police car. Now, why have I got us thinking about hydrogen peroxide, elephant toothpaste, police cars? Well, because Psalm 114 is all about the presence of God, the presence of the Lord. We believe that God is not just out there, some sort of unknowable, ununderstandable force, but actually a person who is present and is with his people. And Psalm 114 remembers and relives God's dramatic rescue of the people of Israel, how he rescues them out of slavery, brings them to the promised land. And because he is with them, because his presence is with them, it causes the earth to react in the most extraordinary, most unbelievable ways. His presence causes the earth to react. And what's more, his presence means that as he rescues his people, because he is with his people, the obstacles are removed, and there are no obstacles to God's plans for his people. And so I'm hoping for a couple of things this afternoon, that we come away from reading the psalm just with this sense of awe, of amazement at God, who is sovereign over the created world, sovereign over the natural world. And the earth just reacts to his presence. Or to see that God is present with his people, Israel, that he is present in the person of Jesus Christ, that he is present even in us, his people, today. And to have that sense of awe at God today. That's the first thing. And the second thing is faith. Just a renewed confidence in God, that as he works in our lives, as he has worked in our lives to rescue us and to lead us, that he is with us and that nothing will stop his promises from coming to pass. There will be no obstacles to God's purposes in our lives. So let's look at the psalm together, Psalm 114. And the first thing that I want us to see is just that when God is present, the earth reacts. So just to recap, as Phil mentioned earlier, these few psalms that we're looking at in the run-up to Easter are the Hallel Psalms, would have been sung by the people of Israel in the run-up to Passover, as they remember and as they relive God's dramatic rescue of his people out of slavery in Egypt. So look at verse 1 and 2 again. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. These first two verses tell us that when God rescued his people, he was with them. His presence was with them. Suddenly, they were his special people, not just because he had chosen them, but because now the presence of God was among them. Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. And verses 3 and 4 tell us what happens. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. So when it says the sea looked and fled, that's referring to the Red Sea. Remember, as God leads his people out of slavery in Egypt, they come to the Red Sea, this massive obstacle, this barrier between them and the promised land. And God parts the sea and they walk through on dry land. They never would have seen that coming. The Jordan. Now, Jordan isn't a person. It's the river Jordan, because in Joshua, the book of Joshua, it describes how when his people come to enter the promised land, there is another river, the river Jordan. And once more, God parts the river and his people walk through on dry land. Amazing. How can this happen? Verse 4 says, the mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. That word leaped, or in some translations it's skipped. You sort of picture a jolly little spring lamb, you know, but actually it's the word leaped or skipped. It's also got connotations of twisting or writhing. It's not so much a happy kind of prancing, but suddenly the mountains, the hills sort of coming to life, you know. Some people actually think that verse refers to Mount Sinai. Remember when God descends on Mount Sinai and there is darkness and there's earthquake and there is smoke and there's fire and lightning and the blast of the trumpet, the whole earth shaking. Maybe that's what verse 4 is talking about. Why? Why does this happen? These things that absolutely shouldn't happen, why do they happen? Well, verses 5 and 6 ask that question. Why was it sea that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? And verse 7 and 8 give us the answer. Tremble, earth. Shake, earth. Twist and writhe, earth. Come to life, earth, at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the God of Jacob. It is because God is present with his people that it's like the earth, the natural world, comes to life, and the sea parts and the river parts and the mountains shake and the earth quakes. Verse 8 goes on, the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Now that refers to when God led his people into the wilderness where it was dry and there's no food and there's no water. What are they going to do? What does the God of Jacob do? He brings water from the rock. How? How on earth does God do that? Water from the rock. He provides for his people. It's like the elephant toothpaste in a way. You just get these normal, you know, ordinary ingredients, the sea, the river, mountains. But suddenly they become animated at the presence of the hydrogen peroxide. At the presence of God, suddenly the earth reacts. Tremble, earth, verse 7 says. Now for people who are atheists or maybe aren't sure about whether God exists or not, you know, we might read this and think, oh, like the sea fleeing, the River Jordan turning back, the mountains leaping like rams. It's all a bit implausible. How unlikely, how improbable. What's the likelihood of these kind of things happening? Yeah, they're against the laws of physics. How could this happen? Well, if that's you, it gets worse. Because actually we believe that Jesus Christ, when we look at his life, when we look at his ministry, and we look at the way he died, it gets worse. Because sickness is driven out in an instant. The lame walk. The dead are raised. Jesus walks on water. He turns water into wine. Things that don't happen and shouldn't happen, they happen. Because God is present. And there's more, because as he dies on the cross, as he is strung out and executed as a criminal, a massive veil in the temple is torn in two. The earth quakes. The rocks split. The tombs burst open and the dead are raised to life and walk around. And the centurion, the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross, gazes up and says, surely this man was the Son of God. That is the conclusion that he reaches. What other conclusion could we reach? That this man is God with us. God present among his people. In the person of Jesus, God was, God is present. And the earth reacts. Now we have to respond as God's people in awe and worship, don't we? We're going to finish our time together by singing, only a holy God who asks again and again, who else could do this? Who else could do this? Who else could do this? Because there is no answer. There is only one God, one holy God, at whose presence the earth reacts in this way. And the song urges us to come and behold him, to gaze at him and worship him. Are you worshiping him now? we should pray, shouldn't we? Maybe we should pray this now. God, make my jaw drop more when I consider just the effect that God's very presence has on this earth that he's created. Shall we take a moment just to be quiet and just to worship him, just to be in awe of him right now before we move on? When God is present, the earth reacts. Secondly, when God is present, there are no obstacles to his plans. So this is what we see in this psalm as Israel, singing this psalm before Passover, reliving God's dramatic rescue of his people. Remember the story? The Israelites are oppressed in Egypt under the yoke of slavery. Pharaoh is against them, has them under his thumb. And so God sends plague after plague after plague, culminating in the death of every firstborn in the land of Egypt, except for every household that slaughters the Passover lamb, so that Passover lamb dies instead, a representative for God's people. Secondly, the Red Sea, they come to the Red Sea and there's this completely impassable, completely impenetrable barrier, this obstacle. God has made these amazing promises to lead them to this wonderful land of milk and honey, but there is this barrier and yet God clears a way. They pass through the wilderness and there's nothing to drink. There's nothing to eat. God brings manna from the sky, water from a rock. They reach the River Jordan. There's another barrier. What is God going to do? He causes the water to pile up so that his people can pass through on dry land. Because God is now present with his people, having made these amazing promises to them, having this wonderful future in front of them, there is now no obstacle that he cannot clear. It's like the police car with the blue lights and the sirens. You get this situation with the traffic and it's bumper to bumper, nothing's moving, nothing's changing. And suddenly at the presence of this police car, the blue lights, the sirens, the sounds, suddenly, all the cars move out of the way. Because of the presence of the police car, all the barriers, all the obstacles are moved out of the way. And it's like that with the people of Israel. God is now with them. And nothing will stop him. He has these plans. We read in the Bible, these plans that he has for his people to rescue them out of slavery, to give them freedom, to lead them to this land of abundance, where they might love him and delight in him, where he might love and delight in them, where they might worship him together, where they might grow in his likeness, that they might reflect his goodness and his glory to the world around them, where they might be a blessing for all nations, where they might live with their God and delight in him and enjoy him forever. And these are God's plans for his people. And similarly, us today, we believe that Jesus is our ultimate Passover lamb, whose death turns away the wrath of God and guarantees our freedom from slavery to sin and darkness. It gives us a new life of freedom. Not only that, but we believe that through faith in Christ, through the Spirit, God is present in us. incredible God that we've been thinking about is present inside us, lives inside us. Isn't that amazing? And his goal for each one of us, every one of us who is a follower of Jesus, his goal is that we would grow in our love and our delight and our worship of him. That we would be blessed, that we would be a blessing to others, for all nations, forever, and delight and enjoy the Lord forever. Now, maybe like the people of Israel, there are circumstances in our lives, circumstances in your life that seem like insurmountable barriers, immovable obstacles between you and the life that God has promised. And you think there are circumstances in your life where you think, oh, I would have a deeper walk with God if I didn't have this in my life. Or surely I would delight in God, but my life is different to how I expected it to be. And there are obstacles in my way. Maybe you think, oh, I would serve him so wholeheartedly at every opportunity. It would be so good. But there are these barriers, these obstacles in my life. Well, Christian, if that's you, God is present with you. He is with you in a very, very real way, living inside you by his Holy Spirit. And for us, his people, he has plans for us to be blessed and to be a blessing, to grow in our love and our delight and our worship of him. And these circumstances of ours will not be a barrier, because nothing can stop the Lord. Maybe this afternoon, you're just overwhelmed. As we're aging, as our bodies aren't doing what they're supposed to do or what they were used to do, and you just think, oh, well, I feel like I used to be more useful than I am now. I used to be able to do this, but now I can't do this anymore. Christian, if that's you, God is with you. And he has plans for how you can grow in your love and in your joy, in your peace, in your patience, all the fruits of the Spirit, how you can be blessed and how you can be a blessing. And our breaking, deteriorating bodies will not be a barrier. They will not be an obstacle to our mighty God. And maybe you're in a season of life where it's just not what you expected. It's not what you wanted. Maybe there are more burdens and less time and less energy than you thought possible. And you had all these ideas of how you might serve the Lord in this season of your life. But it's not happening. It doesn't look like what you hoped it would. Well, if that's you, then God has you right where he wants you to be. He wants you to grow in worship, in love and adoration. And so this difficult season of life that is disappointing, it will not be a barrier. It will not be an obstacle. Now maybe this afternoon, just feel fragile physically and mentally and emotionally. Feel fragile. And maybe dominated by thoughts of all the things that I can't do. I can't even think about what I could do or what I might do, but I just feel powerless. I feel fragile. Maybe in this period, your mental health is not as robust as you would like it to be, and it's a burden. But if that's you, God is with you, Christian, inside you, and will never leave you, and has wonderful plans for how you, in this difficult season, might be blessed and be a blessing. Maybe at the moment all you can think about is what you've lost. Many of us in this room have lost things. Maybe we feel handicapped this afternoon. And maybe you feel that these are just barriers to how you might serve the Lord. But Christian, God is with you. God is present with you. Maybe it's your marriage. You had pictures for what your marriage might look like, but it's not what it's supposed to be, or not, at least not what you thought it would be. Maybe you had big dreams for how you might serve the Lord, how you might be living for Him, but it hasn't happened. Maybe it's yet another health issue. Maybe your health feels like a burden and feels like a barrier, feels like an obstacle, and you just think, oh, well, I could be firing on all cylinders for Christ if I didn't have this. And yet God has given me this. It just feels like this enormous barrier, this enormous obstacle. But no, God is with you, if that is you this afternoon, and has great plans for how, even in and even through poor health and disappointment and hardship, huge plans for how He might bless you and how you might grow in your love and delight and worship of God. These are God's plans for us, His people. And our circumstances, however hard, however burdensome, they will not be a barrier, they will not be an obstacle, because God is with us. God is present. And there are no obstacles to His plans. We'll take a moment just to be quiet and to pray. And in a minute, I'll bring us back together and we'll close with a final song. Sovereign Lord, we just worship You, and we bow before You now, because who is there like You, at whose very presence the earth reacts and changes, shakes at Your very presence? Who is like You? We praise you and thank you that you're not just this impersonal force out there in the black, but that you, Lord, are a person, that you've revealed yourself to us, that you've revealed yourself to us in the Lord Jesus. You are present in Christ. And Lord, that through being united to Christ, that by your Holy Spirit, you dwell in us. Lord God, we cannot fathom that. So Lord, I pray, Lord, increase our awe, cause our jaws to drop today and more, and fill us with faith as we look at how you led your people, how you provided for them, and fill us with faith and trust that because you are with us, there are no obstacles, no barriers to your promises coming to pass, however large, however fearful our circumstances may be. And we praise you and worship you, our holy God. In Jesus' name, amen.